Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One Easter, many years ago, I was sitting in a church in Chaska, Minnesota, and Pastor Nate began his sermon with these words: "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Suddenly, death came rushing up the center aisle of the church, complete with black robe and sickle, roaring back at the pastor. "Where is my sting? How can you say that? I am the one constant in life. Everyone dies. No one escapes my power." What followed was a debate between the pastor and death, an exploration of the power of death and the power of resurrection. I remembered this dramatic sermon this week as I read today's lesson, because we are living in a time when we feel that specter of death looming in a very particular way. The news that we hear or read each day carries the numbers of those who have died, highlighting each day the power and sting of death, the suffering of those who are sick and those who are grieving. It is a time when we may be asking ourselves, not where is the victory of death, but where is the victory of Easter? Where is the victory of hope? We may believe that each one of those who die will be resurrected in the afterlife, but that feels like slim hope in the face of rising death tolls and shelter-in-place orders and the anxiety of both continuing isolation and returning to social activity. Our reading today comes at the end of Paul's letter to the Corinthian congregation. He is writing to a church which is troubled and divided, and he encourages them, extols them, sometimes berates them, trying to get them to recognize their unity in Christ. Paul wants the church in Corinth to see that their decision to follow Jesus changes everything for them. It changes the way they live together in community, the way they talk to each other, the way they share their table fellowship with equity, the way they express and value their respective gifts for ministry. Paul tells the Corinthian Christians that the daily matters of life are important to God. Jesus wants his followers to follow, not just with beliefs and ideals, but with actions and in all the ordinary realities of daily life. Then Paul turns to this section about resurrection. Apparently, some members of the Corinthian community were doubting the resurrection of the dead ones, the text says, not necessarily the resurrection of Jesus, but the truth of what his resurrection means for his followers. And Paul is adamant in telling them the resurrection means everything. Not just something that happened 30 years before this letter was written, but something that happens again and again in the lives of all the followers of Jesus. This week, I was listening to the podcast from Luther Seminary, and I was struck by something that Professor Catherine Schifferdecker said. She says this often to her classes and regularly on the podcast. Matter matters to God. The real physical stuff of reality matters to God. This is not a God who is interested only in our souls, which God will free from our bodies when we die. God is interested in our whole selves. God counts the hairs on our heads. God is intimately involved in our whole lives, how we eat, how we love, how we pray, how we use our resources entrusted to us, how we work, and how we play. When God brought Jesus back from death, God gave the world victory over death, over sin and evil and hell. God completed the work begun in the incarnation. Jesus became human, lived as a human, suffered and died as a human, and was resurrected as a human, transformed, but still with the signs of suffering on his body. All this shows us that human lives are sacred and valuable to God, and our whole selves are redeemed in the promise and hope of the resurrection. I've recently been using a small book in my daily prayer time called All Will Be Well, 30 Days with Julian of Norwich. Now, I've talked to you before about Julian, a 14th century saint and mystic whose visions are filled with the promise of God's great love for humanity and for the world. Julian is a great saint to offer hope in the midst of anxiety and change. Her own life was marked by great suffering, both her own physical illness and her life in a busy port city in the midst of plague and war. Julian was not naive to the reality of the power of death. And yet, her visions are filled with love and hope. She wrote, "On one occasion, our good Lord told me, every kind of thing will be all right." God desires us to understand that not only does God concern God's self with the great and noble things, but equally with small and simple things. We too should realize that the smallest things will not be forgotten. Now, there are so many acts committed that to us seem so evil and so harmful that we despair of any good resulting from them. While we are in sorrow and mourning concerning these, we cannot relax in God's exalted and wondrous wisdom. So God tells us, "You yourself will behold that all will be well." It is as though God were telling us, "Take it now in faith and trust, and in the end you will see truly in all fullness of joy." Julian continues, "The Trinity will accomplish an action on the last day. What will be and how it will be accomplished, no creature lower than Christ knows. And so it shall remain veiled until the act is accomplished. And so God wishes us to know this, so that our spirits might be surrendered peacefully into God's love." This is the victory of the resurrection, not simply that we will have eternal life when we die, but that we know eternal life and peace and hope here and now. We know the power of God to bring life where there is no life, to make a way where there is no way. We know the gift of grace, which invites us to say, along with St. Julian, "Every kind of thing will be all right." We are able to live our lives enfolded in the love and promises of God. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The power of death is real, but the power of God, of life, of love, of grace and hope is stronger still. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.